you fear most in football staring you right in the face?
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac, a stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We are back in Bears week. The Bears are getting ready for a game, and Mark Grody is ready for you.
Hey, Groves.
What's up, Lawrence?
The Bears are back.
Yeah?
Yes.
Tell us, Groats. The Bears are back. Coach is there. Players are there. Vibes. How are the vibes after a good weekend for the NFC North?
I'll tell you what I like seeing as I walked from the parking lot to the building to Hallis Hall, where we get to do the interviews with some players and coaches from whom you will hear. I did see on field one right in front of Hallis Hall, Bears players out there going through what is, it turned out, just a light workout, maybe even more of a walkthrough. So the players are here getting the kinks out, getting loosened up. This is not a practice in earnest that starts on Wednesday. And then Matt Eberflus told us that Tyreek Stevenson and long snapper Scott Daly were both out there during this light walkthrough style practice, which may portend well for those guys. As far as Jaquan Brisker is concerned, he was not out there. We were told that a couple more steps of concussion protocol before they can say that he is ready. And then Kyler Gordon, all Matt Eberflus would say is that he is working through a hamstring injury. So as far as Brisker is concerned, guys, I mean, I'll start right there because I do feel pretty good about Tyreek Stevenson and even Scott Daly, the long snapper, if he is to be the Bears' long snapper, that, you know, with Brisker is good to go. But Brisker, I should say, I'm a little concerned because if he has a couple more steps to go, I don't know what those steps are. I don't know what hurdles he's already passed, but I do know that he has a history of concussions. So I don't know if that bodes well for him this week, but we'll find some of that stuff out on Wednesday.
Okay. The trade deadline is coming up. What are we hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if for people who are just catching up on what went down over the weekend, maybe you weren't as locked in because the Bears were off. There was a report from Ian Rappaport on NFL Network that the Bears were listening to potential trade offers for their offensive lineman, Nate Davis. Khalil Herbert's name came up, but I was most interested in Nate Davis. Left the question on here for you for full context, and you'll get to hear how Matt Eberflus answers the question.
Matt, there's been some trade talk generated by NFL Network centering on Nate Davis. Is there anything you can confirm about that, and are you guys listening to potential offers for Nate Davis?
Yeah, I would just say this, that, you know, of course, you know, during this time when you're leading up to the trade deadline, you're always going to have guys that are in conversation for those trade talks. I'm not going to talk about particular players or players that we're looking at potentially, but that's always going to be the case. It's part of the business. You know, it's an NFL player. You know that. And it's just part of that time that we're in right now.
Is Bates close to being able to open to come back to practice?
Yeah. Yeah. We got some good report on him today. He is close. We'll see where it is as we go forward. But we'll see if he's in our plans here coming up.
Yeah, they got to make a decision when Ryan Bates is back. We're worried about the mini fridge, Doug Kramer, and his roster viability. We need him to be in there so we can do the stickers.
That was more than I was expecting Matt Eberflus to say to Groats' question.
On Bates or on Davis?
On Davis.
Well, Davis, he's trying to play it general, but says players, and says that they're listening and they're asking as well. What else did you get from it?
Just that. The fact that he would even, instead of deflecting that and being like, you know, that's up to Ryan. Like, that's usually something gets kicked upstairs. Even him being like, yeah, well, you know, this is that time of year where your names get bandied about and stuff. I'm a little surprised by that. And it further lets me know how they feel about Nate Davis.
Yeah, you know, the talk is all the Nate Davis stuff has seemingly left the door open for that. They've gone out of their way to not disparage him. What did you guys talk about amongst yourselves in this topic, Mark?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's number one. I mean, I kind of went off. I think it was on your show talking about how Matt Eberflus referred to him as a professional, which I was incensed with just from what we've seen. He's been the antithesis, it feels like, of a professional. But now I get it a little bit more, and maybe I should have gotten it then, that, yeah, this is not a guy who, even if he's not on the roster in the next month or so, he's certainly not a guy that they want on the field anymore. They benched him, and he is now the backup to the backup. So one way or the other, it does feel like, and I can't confirm this at this moment, that they're done with Nate Davis, that he is just not part of the future of this Bears team. So a lot of what they've been saying to us and not saying to us makes sense. And yeah, that's what stood out to me about Matt Eberflus. While he certainly was, you know, giving the generalizations of, hey, this is everybody's got to be ready for this at this time of the year, he certainly did not go out of his way to deny it, nor to protect the player in terms of saying that he's a part of our future. And I'll say too about Ryan Bates, and we don't know at this point, with very vague answers on Ryan Bates today in terms of when he might return, and maybe we get more on that on Wednesday or maybe even today. We'll find out. I'll keep my phone on. But Ryan Bates, I'd be shocked if he doesn't go right in at right guard. That would be my best guess. I think that you keep Coleman Shelton in at center. I'd also like to, and I wonder if this is one of those cases, guys, where you ask your quarterback, you bring in Caleb Williams into the conversation, say, you comfortable with Coleman Shelton as your center, or do we need to make a change there? And let's face it, if we are to give credit to the Bears' offense thriving really in the last two games, then you have to say that there's a pretty good connection between center and quarterback. So I don't think you move that, but you know, and these other guys have done fine. We've seen Bill Murray come into the game. Matt Pryor has been good at times, but they have just invested too much in, and Ryan Poles likes Ryan Bates too much for me to think that he will not play a part on this team eventually. A
lot of potentially moving parts on the offensive line. We'll be following along. The news came out earlier today that Jaden Daniels is week to week, according to Commanders coach Dan Quinn, but that was after you guys talked to the Fluce about Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, and specifically Spiegs because the Bears talked to Jaden Daniels at the Combine, which is like they talk to everybody out there. That is not a unique thing. Of course, they've got the first pick, so they're going to get a chance. It was always Caleb, but they talked to Jaden Daniels, and Fluce was asked, what do you think of him now as opposed to what you guys scouted of him at LSU or even ASU, if you'd like?
Yeah, I see that the offenses are different from, you know, his college offense to the pro offense for sure. You know, there's more reading for him in the run game than he had in college, it looked like to me. But again, they just really do a good job of enhancing and looking at his skill set, which is throwing the ball down the field. He does that really well. And, you know, he's been able to get some really good chunk plays. Their whole offense has during the course of these first games.
You guys were high on and set on Caleb very early on. Did you also have Jaden Daniels marked down as this guy is clearly headed somewhere?
Yeah, no question. I mean, he is a talent, a big talent, and as you can see that the first part of the game, he's got a real good future ahead of him. You could certainly see how he reads the field, how he sees, his vision, his anticipation, his accuracy, his ability to escape when he needs to, his ability to do the QB runs if they ask him to do that. Athleticism, and he's a big talent.
Yeah, you can tell that Fluce has been very involved with all the draft prep. As he talked about wide receivers and Brian Thomas before the Jags game, it's like Fluce went deep on all of the draft stuff along with Poles.
Gross, do you think that there's any way possible that Dan Quinn tells us that Jaden Daniels is starting before Sunday? Because I don't. I don't think he's going to mess with this.
Not only do I think that the gamesmanship part is part of this, absolutely, Lawrence, but I'm skeptical on whether or not he's going to be healthy enough to play. And I know the report that it's not a serious injury, but we all know how tricky these rib injuries are. And I know it's not like, you know, Tevin Jenkins when he has a rib injury and he's got to be mashing with guys on every single play. But this is your franchise quarterback. You're not even halfway through the season. And I understand it would really ruin the storyline, but I mean, I don't know that they want to necessarily take a chance on putting that guy out there against this Bears defense, which is really good and one of the better defenses that they will have seen up to this point. So, yeah, I mean, either way, whether gamesmanship or just not playing, yeah, I don't think we find this out until Sunday.
Yeah, because it just also strikes you, too. Like, the thing that you don't think about is, if you have a rib injury, it becomes difficult to sleep.
Yes.
Like, there's all sorts of stuff that you don't think about, like more than just, well, just shoot them up with Toradol and send them out there. Like, you want to make sure that you're going to be okay. And maybe the Bears get lucky and they get Marcus Mariota, who's still a professional quarterback, but he's not what this guy has been.
He's a backup quarterback. And Mariota was
a solid backup.
And he was good. He was good this past week. But the fact is, he's a backup quarterback. Backups in the NFL, we've seen it. We've seen every single backup quarterback ever go through Halas Hall. Eventually, as good as they might be as backups, Tyson Bagent, they get exposed, Daniel.
Hey,
you
man.
Know what I mean? Like, it happens.
Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton.
Bears defense hasn't given up more than 21 points in 12 games. And Marcus Mariota is not going to send a shiver down my spine. But he is a professional quarterback. We'll definitely give him that.
He's not going to embarrass himself, but the Bears will be in really good shape if it's Mariota, trust me.
give us more from the Floos there,
yeah.
Grodes.
I love this from the Floos. He was asked about coaches rising through the ranks. You know, the more successful Matt Eberflus becomes, the more successful his assistants are going to become. Shane Waldron and Eric Washington and some of the assistants may go on to bigger and better things. And Matt Eberflus himself has gone through the ranks to get to where he is. And he gave a very Matt Eberflus answer to it. Check it out.
From your experience, what was that process like for you, going from position coach to like having people empower you along the way in those steps so you could get to where you are now?
Yeah, I always say this to the players and the coaches, that if you want more responsibility, fill your bucket up and make it overfill, and then do the job with detail. And then guess what? You get another bucket, and then you get to fill that up and do the same thing. And then guess what? If you're good enough, you'll get another bucket. So just keep filling the bucket up, keep doing the job. Keep having the players that play under you, play at a very high level, and then things will happen. But don't go looking for it. Just keep filling buckets up, and you'll be okay.
Buckets?
Oh, hell yeah.
I like the way he says bucket.
Yes.
Yeah, man. Yes. Bozo Buck, bring out that Schwinn. Bozo Buckets.
Hey, man, there's a reason why the F word is like the world's number one curse. It's just so satisfying to say, like loading up all that air before you say it and then blank it like bucket. I mean, like the CK.
Bucket.
It's powerful. It feels really good to hear Matt Eberflus say bucket.
This is why Matt Eberflus is a genuine guy, because sometimes he puts that stuff out there about his players and the hits principle and filling the buckets. He uses his own principles on himself. He has his own set of buckets. So this man is the real deal. He is genuine, and he's right. And he's right about all of it. And he's a good place in his coaching life.
Buckets.
Bears. Bears.
Bozo had buckets, Trent Dilfer had buckets, and Matt Eberflus has buckets.
Everybody's got buckets. All right, now to Cole Kmet, because I've got three Cole Kmet cuts, and we'll try to get through them as quickly as possible for the sake of time here on the radio. But this answer from Cole Kmet, this is my favorite answer to a question all year. Cole Kmet on why, because the Bears are 4-2. We've seen the Bears be 4-2 before and just completely fall apart. Why, Cole Kmet, is this sustainable?
I mean, for me, it's just hard not to say the quarterback. Like, the quarterback looks really good, and he's super talented and can do a lot of really good things with his legs and with his arm. And I think the things that he does in the pocket as a rookie is really impressive. And I think those are the things that you look at that you can rely on week to week, whether that's the intermediate or short passing game. And I think Caleb's done a really good job with that. So, it's just hard for me not to say the quarterback. You know, there's a lot of other elements to it as well, like obviously protecting and doing all those things. But I think Caleb just got a knack for playmaking and making plays happen.
Oh, hell yes, Cole Kmet. Mm-hmm. The truth is the truth, man. The quarterback is making all aspects look a lot better. And when those other aspects are decent or sometimes very good, then the whole team can look really, really good. That's good stuff.
I mean, we've been waiting forever to hear about a team. And, you know, I'm trying to keep it all in perspective. Six games, but we have waited forever to hear anybody ever say the Bears are good because of their quarterback. And that's what, he didn't have to say that. Nobody led him into the question with anything about Caleb Williams. And that's what Cole Kmet said. So I just thought that was amazing. Next cut from Cole Kmet here. I had asked Matt Eberflus in his press conference about the NFC North and how, yeah, it's cool that the NFC North is good, but it also kind of sucks that the NFC North is so good because the Bears are seemingly good right now. There's no weak link in the division, and those are the teams that you have to play. Matt Eberflus's answer was kind of like, we're worried about ourselves. That's the right thing for the coach to say. But then my colleague and yours, Chris Emma, took a crack at a similar question with Cole Kmet on the NFC North.
As competitors, do you like that when you see the division and it's stacked up like that? It's so tight and, you know, all four teams with winning records right now?
Yeah, I don't know if I love that, but it definitely makes – those are the games you want to play in. So I'm sure here, you know, if we keep going and the rest of the division keeps doing what they've been doing, a lot of those games are going to get probably flexed to primetime as we get going here and as playoffs kind of start to shape up. And I know as a player, like, those are the games I want to play in. You know, I'm sick of playing at noon all the time, and I like playing in those primetime slots. Like, that's where everyone's watching. And
CBS takes your game now for 3:25, and you got Romo, and it's kind of it's the main game in the afternoon. Does that fire you guys up?
Yeah.
Or is that different?
I mean, that fires me up. I know, the guys that I was around, you know, early in my career, whether it was like Jimmy or Akeem or Khalil, like, they always talked about the primetime games. Like, that's where everyone's watching you, and there's no reason to shy away from that.
Look at Cole Kmet, like, actually, like, learning from vets. Like, we always talk about that type of stuff, but it's clear that he was paying attention to what those guys had to say.
Yeah, man, and they feel it like, hell, when you're opening a bill, if you're a stand-up comic and you're going first or you're going second, you know, you want that headlining hit, and they know it. That's it's really interesting. They're after they get done with these two road games of Commanders and Cardinals, the Patriots are a noon game, the Packers are a noon game, and the Vikings are a noon game. Already they've been flexed with the Commanders. Bears, Packers, November 17th. Is that going to stay a noon game, everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Bears,
doubtful.
Bears, Vikings on the 24th. Going to stay a noon game, you think, folks?
Player, please. I don't see it coming. I see a flex on the way. I think Kmet is going to have his wish on some of these games. And in reality, it's funny too, because from covering Lawrence, you know this from being in these locker rooms. Actually, the players love the noon games because it's just normal. And then you've got the rest of your night, but I understand what Kmet is saying, that you want the shine, you want the 3 o'clock game, you want the evening game, because that means you're good.
It means you're good and that things are moving in the right direction. Like your team and having players on your team that win awards.
How about that, man? Cole Kmet, because we haven't talked to him since he was awarded with the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week, because he had to go in a pinch in London to be the long snapper. And so we asked him what he thought about all that.
Yeah, I think there might be some pretty pissed off long snappers throughout the league, but yeah, I'll take it. So pretty cool, and obviously a cool award to get regardless, and, you know, just kind of makes that day a little more memorable, I guess.
Have you spoken to any pissed off long snappers in your own locker room?
There was a few in the locker room, yeah. So, they're all happy for me about it, and it's definitely a unique deal, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's something too that I'll just add to it really quick. Speak.
Please.
He actually did film breakdown of him being like, we asked him, did you have to like review? Oh yeah, he's like, yeah, he said I graded out pretty well as a long snapper, but he had to watch the film and go through it all just like everybody else.
He didn't snap for punts.
He did not snap for punts.
Short snaps only.
Part of why, Lawrence, I never, ever want to see Cole Kmet as the Bears' long snapper again, nor does Cole Kmet ever want to be. This was fun. This was novel. We're having fun with it, but never, never again.
Yeah, he had Jake McQuaid, the former Lions long snapper, was on the practice squad, and Scott Daly, that's two. Pat Manley would be the third long snapper.
He went through some of the film with Patrick.
Yeah.
Hey, don't sleep on Pat Scales, too. Man, don't forget about Pat Scales.
Oh, that's right. He's there, too.
Yeah, yeah, he's there, too.
Oh,
man.
So there's three? That's right.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean.
They got a bunch of long snappers that are mad at him.
There's a few.
Exactly. Yeah. There's three long snappers coming at Colt Komet for winning an award.
And that's amazing. Then there's and the Gunners.
Yep, and then there's Shane Waldron, who just has long snapper energy for some reason to me, but he's not a long snapper.
What's long snapper energy?
I'll tell you off the air. You got TJ Edwards stuff?
Yeah, I do. You know me. I'm always wondering, are the Bears a top five defense? And I think I talked with you guys about this last time I was on. And TJ Edwards, one of those guys who set the bar at that in the preseason. So I just asked him, let's get an update. Have you guys reached top five status defensively yet, TJ?
I mean, I feel like we've played well, right? Done some really good things, you know, on all facets of the game. But I think for us, you know, we know that we can be a lot better. It's a group that's not complacent with anything that we do. And that starts with, you know, Coach Washington and those things. But I think, you know, we know, and we kind of looked at some things today, just kind of reflecting on, you know, the first couple parts of the season and what we did well, what we know we can clean up.
What specifically, if you can share with us?
Yeah. Better. I mean, specifics, you know, it's kind of, we'll keep that in house, but I think just in general, you know, giving up some big plays, I think at times and, you know, getting teams behind the sticks in a way is something that we're looking at too. So, you know, I think from top to bottom, we know there's just a couple things that each group can do better, including myself. So we're excited to get things going.
Sixth in yards, fourth in points, third in takeaways, and in terms of turnover differential, fourth, tied for fourth in turnover differential. But sacks is where they're not. Top five, and he said getting teams behind the sticks.
Croats,
yep.
We're back. We're Bears. Back, baby.
Bears.
We're
Bears.
Back. Bears. It's football week. There's going to be football play this Sunday. We're all back.
My misery of there being no Bears this game this past weekend is over.
It's
the
over.
Bears are back.
Yes. Now you're back, Bears. Croats,
see you guys.
Appreciate you. That is Mark Grody, our Bears beat reporter, who does a phenomenal job covering this team in all sorts of ways.
Things to follow along the week. The possible moving parts on the offensive line. The health of Jaquan Brisker with two more steps to go through on concussion protocol. And Kyler Gordon, some clarity on the hamstring. And I agree that we'll probably not get any clarity on whether Jaden Daniels is going to play at least until Friday, maybe not even until Sunday.
Would you like to learn more about Detroit?
I would. And the great Dan Campbell is somebody to learn more about and everything else that's going on there.
Colton Pouncey will join us to talk about the Lions. He covers them for The Athletic. Don't go anywhere. He joins us next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
So here we go. Hatton to snap. Fox to hold. Jake Bates with a 44-yard attempt. Hash mark right side to give the Lions the lead. He's ready. There's the snap. There's the spot. Kick away. It is up and it is good. Jake Bates sends it through. Two teams will meet out in the middle of the field to say job well done, job better done on this day by your first place Detroit Lions. They beat the Vikings by a score of 31-29.
It was a little touch and go there for a while for the Lions. Some excellent football being played by the Lions and the Vikings in the NFC North. Looks to be the strongest division in football.
Yeah, it comes out of yesterday looking even better than it did going in. And that Lions thing, I mean, they've got to figure out some pass rush with the absence of Aiden Hutchinson. I wonder how aggressive they're going to be, and I wonder if the Bears are going to be aggressive even just in conversation to try and keep the Lions from getting something. I'm starting to envision this war of conversations because Ryan Poles likes to be aggressive around the deadline.
Yeah, it would be really bad for the Bears if Max Crosby somehow found his way to Detroit.
That's what I'm saying. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Myles Garrett.
Yeah, that would really, really stink. Colton Pouncey does an incredible job of covering the Lions for The Athletic. Also, the Welcome to Detroit podcast with Nick Baumgartner, who's been a guest here on The Score as well. He joins us. He's also on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hey, Colton, thanks so much for picking up the phone. We appreciate it. Let's start here. In your time of covering the Lions, what would you say is the reason, the biggest reason why Dan Campbell has been able to have this level of success?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the types of players they've identified to play for them. You know, they pass on guys that have maybe some more talent, some guys that maybe have been higher rated on draft boards, but they target the right guys. Every player that's here is here for a reason. They have a never quit mentality. They play through injuries. They're just Dan Campbell type of guys. And he and Brad Holmes have kind of scoured the market trying to build a roster that way. Of guys with some talent, but also guys that are going to work hard, give it your all, and then kind of go out there and battle it out every Sunday. So I think that's kind of the gist of it. They built this thing slowly over the last, you know, 3-4 years now to get it to where it is now. And I think you look around the roster, you see guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown, Penei Sewell, Jack Campbell, Jahmyr Gibbs, Brian Branch, like the guys that they've assembled here and brought here to Detroit are talented players that just love playing football. And I think it's a good combination.
It's amazing to me because every time I see him talking about the Lions, I go, I want to play for that guy. I don't know what, like, I don't know if it's a ping pong tournament or something. I want to play for him. How did he go from maybe some people thinking he was a lovable buffoon to being able to really connect with players?
Yeah, I think a lot of it just has to do with he is a former player himself. He's been in their shoes before. And I know a lot of people like to, you know, mention the kneecap biting from his opening press conference and things like that. That's part of Dan for sure. Like, he definitely is a guy that wants to have a team that never fights and never backs down, I should say. But at the same time, like, what I see every day and what the rest of the Lions beat sees is a guy that has a high emotional intelligence and can really tap into the mind of a player in ways that you might not think from just how he's kind of shaped and how you see his comments and things like that. He's like this big, bulky dude that kind of likes to joke around. But, you know, he also has a deep care for his players. He puts trust in them, whether it's the game plan, side conversations at practice. And that matters to them. And I think it gets the best out of them and makes them want to go play hard for him. And so what he's got going here in Detroit, the entire city's backing him and this team. So it's been kind of cool to watch over the years.
Emotional intelligence. You had me right there, Colton Pouncey, because like these coaches got to be communicators, but you got to be emotionally intelligent and tap into those dudes. He and Jared Goff clearly have a thing. As much as Ben Johnson gets credit for this offense, like, does Dan Campbell deserve some credit for this growth and this incredible moment that Jared Goff is having?
Yeah, for sure. If you go back to that 2021 season, you know, the Lions had Anthony Lynn as their offensive coordinator. You know, things weren't really working with him, and they had to kind of pivot away from what he was doing, his system, West Coast offense. And they kind of tailored it around what Jared Goff does well. So Dan Campbell started calling plays at the end of the 2021 season. He started working closer with Ben Johnson to kind of craft the offense that he wants this to be and what he wants to look like. And if you remember Dan Campbell's time with Sean Payton in New Orleans, they had a two-back system. He's kind of brought that over to Detroit. If you look at Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery right now, and even a few years ago, DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. He's always wanted like a scat back, a guy that can kind of catch out of the backfield and a power back for the goal line. So Dan Campbell's fingerprints are all over this Lions offense. Ben Johnson obviously deserves a ton of credit, but you know, it's definitely both of those guys leading the ship out here.
What made Ben Johnson want to stay? Because he was the hot coach. Everyone wanted Ben Johnson, who had an opening. He kind of shut the door on that. Why?
Yeah, you know, we asked him about that this offseason because I think most of us assumed that he would be gone and try to get a head coaching job. You know, he turned it down the last cycle as well, and you don't really see guys turn down opportunities like that 2 years in a row. So we did ask him about that, and he told a story. He's on the plane back from San Francisco after the NFC Championship game. He's thinking back to a story from, I think, 2021 or 2022 season about a team meeting where Dan was saying, look, guys, like, I know we're losing games right now. It's not looking great, but I can see how close we are. Like, we're losing games by thin margins. We're doing almost everything we need to do. We just got to learn how to close out these games, and we'll be just fine. Like, we have the talent. We have the right dudes in place. It's just going to take a little bit longer. So Ben told us that story. He's thinking back to that on the plane ride after this brutal loss where they thought they were going to the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden their season's over. And in a few days, he was supposed to interview with the Washington Commanders. They were going to come to Detroit to kind of talk to him and potentially hire him. But he just couldn't shake that feeling about how close they were. And you know, he wanted to come back and give it another go. And I mean, man, he's got this offense humming right now. They look like one of the best in the NFL, and you know, they got a lot of weapons out there.
So you're making me think back to Campbell's time in New Orleans. We're talking about Mark Ingram and rookie Alvin Kamara, essentially. Yeah. And that two back offense, and now here you are with Montgomery and Gibbs. We miss Montgomery. We loved him as a dude and as a worker. How important is he to what happens on that offense?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, he's kind of what they rely on whenever the offense does get in a rut, which isn't often when you look at it. But when they kind of get away from themselves, they just feed Montgomery, and I think he's been great behind this Lions offensive line. Which I think is one of the best in the NFL with Penei Sewell and Frank Ragnow, those guys up front, blocking them, paving the way for him. But yeah, David Montgomery has been incredible for them. He was an upgrade over Jamal Williams. That's one of the reasons why they wanted to get him. Just signed to a contract extension last weekend. So he's going to be a piece here for a couple more years, and the Lions are happy to have him for sure.
Are the Lions in the market for an edge rusher?
They should be. I assume Brad is making some calls, Brad Holmes. You know, after you lose a guy like Aiden Hutchinson that was leading the league in pressures and sacks at the time he went down, you know, he was kind of a one-man show out there and probably the front runner for defensive player of the year. It was really unfortunate to see him go down. I think they're holding out hope that maybe he can come back for a potential Super Bowl run, but that's still a long ways away, and they need to kind of bridge that gap a little bit, because that game against the Vikings did not get a ton of pressure from their edge rushers filling in for Hutchinson. So I do think they should make a move. I don't know if it's going to be a Max Crosby type of move. That's a big swing, and I don't even know if he's available to take a swing after. But I do think they can get a guy that can kind of bridge the gap a little bit and create some more pressures.
Last thing for you, Colton. This is all great stuff. I remember hearing about the draft pick of Penei Sewell and just how important that was to Brad Holmes as like kind of a template for the entire thought process of team building, you know, valuing the line and valuing the dude. He has lived up to that, right? It was him or Jamar Chase was the debate at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, Jamar Chase would have been a great pick if he were there. A lot of people in Detroit, actually fans and media, were suggesting maybe Justin Fields or just take a quarterback after you trade a guy like Stafford. But Brad had a vision for this. He wanted to build it up. You know, the Lions offensive line was okay. They were solid, but he felt that was an opportunity to make it into an elite one. You go out and get a guy like Penei Sewell that has already been at two Pro Bowls, was a first team All Pro last year. He's really been everything they envisioned. He's arguably the most athletic tackle in the NFL. I don't know if you guys saw that hook and ladder they ran to him a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Not many guys 300 pounds can catch a pass like that and get upfield the way he did. So he's different. He's a different cat out here. And he's kind of been the face of this rebuild, the face of everything they do up front. So, yeah, they're looking at him for sure.
Colton, is my intel right? Are you from the city?
I actually grew up in the burbs. I'm out from Aurora, Illinois. I went to Waubonsie Valley. So, yeah, I'm from the area a little bit.
All right.
I can't claim Chicago like that, you know.
What? Look at you doing it the right way and saying totally. I'm from Aurora and I'm proud. I mean, it is the second citizen. The biggest city in the state, so
yeah, and growing. So, so do you know to be afraid of the Bears and Caleb Williams as a Lions guy now? Do you know to have the fear of God in your heart that we're going to dominate the division for the next decade?
Listen, I had to talk my Chicago friends out of keeping Justin Fields because they all wanted him to stay in Chicago. And I'm like, guys, Caleb Williams is clearly a dude. Like, it's going to take some time, but when he figures out how to play in this league, he has a chance to be a top five quarterback, can get you to a Super Bowl every single year if you build around him the right way. And so I had so many arguments this summer with my friends. I'm like, how are you not seeing this vision? You had Justin Fields for a few years now. You got to see what he did. You gave him plenty of time. You got some weapons for him in the end. And it didn't work out. You got to move on. That's fine. It happens. But you got a guy like Caleb Williams falling to your lap. You draft him and don't look back.
You can stay. Thanks, Colton.
Colton, you're awesome, man. Thanks so much. Your work is fantastic on The Athletic. Thanks for giving us a few minutes.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
That's Colton Pouncey of The Athletic.
Enjoyed
that was
him.
Fun.
Yeah, enjoyed him.
Yeah, that was real good.
Very much. Lawrence, there's a massive change to the national sports landscape, and I don't think some of our listeners have even wrapped their heads around what it means, because it has changed the importance of our sports weekends.
All right, then why don't we update people on it? And I heard something that was really cool that happened this weekend that was really cool that we need to share, that I think will make people feel the feels. Next, here on The Score.
Luke Altmyer at Illinois. with a win at home to snap the Michigan six-game winning streak in this series, 21-7. And here come the fans.
How about this building job for Brett Bielema? Grew up under Hayden Fry, Bill Snyder, Barry Alvarez, became a head coach, and then under Bill Belichick, and he's brought that to Illinois.
And they are 6-1 and 3-1, and they're very much in the thick of the Big Ten race with a date with Oregon in Eugene next week.
Highlight courtesy of CBS, the great Brad Nessler on the call as Illinois beats Michigan.
That's fun, man, to have Nessler and Gary Danielson. It felt big time.
Big time game. They were rocking the old school leather helmet look.
Badass paint job on those, man. Seriously. It looked like Red Grange leather helmets, but it was just a really good matte paint job.
What was, and it was the 77th sellout or something, too? There was some sort of Red Grange connection.
I don't know.
All those helmets were also hand-painted and took 2 hours each.
That's insane.
No! That's true?
I know we've got some audio to get to or whatever, but yes, I wanted to get that in. Okay. 2 hours each, hand-painted.
I was also going to sing my own version of the Red Grange connection, which was beautiful, I thought, in the Muppet movie.
Recorded.
Just me, though. All right, I'll record it. I'll bring it to you later. Yeah. But it's a 12-team playoff, people. And if you're Illinois, you can dream of such things, at least for a week.
You've got the number one team in the country on the road. That's rough. But what Bielema has done this year has been great. They played lights out. That game had everything. Fake kicks, block kicks, interceptions, fumble recoveries, peanut punches. It had everything. And the winning side was Illinois. It got to me. And Brett Bielema speaking after the game, I thought was incredibly human. And I thought that we would share it a little bit and talk about him being human.
Obviously, a lot of great things went in the weekend. Before I go that way, unfortunately, Friday, when we were coming down to hop on our buses, we have a police escort. State Trooper Corey Thompson, I believe, unfortunately passed on Friday night. Right, he was in our police escort the week before when we played Purdue, and just want to pass on our thoughts to his family and everything that goes into that. So it was a great reminder for all of us to start this weekend about how special the opportunity is that we have. Brett just shared with me that this was the 77th sellout. So if that's 77 reasons with Red Grange and all that goes into this, just truly amazing opportunity to come here. I know Josh is in the back. I just want to say thanks to Josh and his entire staff, Tom, Casey, Cassie. Just this moment to have this crowd and to have this come to life in front of us. I did stress to our guys on Sunday, you're going to get a million questions about how you beat Michigan or how you prepare for Michigan. And I told them, you know, listen, I learned this one from a very wise man, my mentor, Barry Alvarez. Like, you learn to beat Michigan 365 days a year, right? You do the things you do every day to take advantage of moments like this. And it was really, really rewarding.
And then he went on and he talked about his mom, because the last time that they played Michigan was right after his mom had passed, and it was really emotional. Shakia Taylor wrote a great piece about it today in the Tribune of him kind of fighting back tears, because you have the death of the state trooper, him thinking about the death of his mom and the death of his sister, along with this great moment for the football program and the university overall. I thought it was really wonderful. I thought that no matter what you feel about Brett or Illini athletics, that in that moment you walk away and you go, man, I'm really happy for this guy. And it's fun to dream. If you're Illinois or you're Indiana right now, who's 7-0 under a wild man, Kurt Cignetti, you can dream about the college football playoff. Now, for Illinois, it might only be for this week.
Yeah, because they already have one loss, and then this could be your second and toast.
But you at least get to dream for this deep into a season.
To have that dream. And to have those moments to beat Michigan, to, like, just dominate Michigan. This is This town, Chicago, as kind of the mecca of the Midwest, means that there are Big Ten fiefdoms everywhere. A different Big Ten bar all over, you know, whether it's Wellington or whether it's Sheffield or whether it's on Lincoln Avenue.
The South Loop.
There are Big Ten bars everywhere. So you got a very attentive fan base, especially with the expanded playoff at this point.
And it's not maybe who people would think would be in the middle of this with Illinois and Indiana, but it's kind of fun that they are in the middle of it, which is great. My partner has a proclamation.
I'm going to say it loud.
I am terrified of what, if it is what I think it is.
It is. It's time, dude. There's just a hint of the trumpet to come.
I'm not sure it's time.
I think it's time.
Okay.
And you know damn well there are reasons to say it.
Spiegs is going to have a Bears proclamation for you next on The Score.